Well, good morning, everyone. Oh, you're getting better. I'll get you there one of these days. Isn't it great to see sunshine this morning? You know, no snow flying, whatever. And I don't know what the forecast is around here, but around my area, around Columbus and Mount Vernon, it's going to be in the 40s this week. That's going to help melt that 8 inches of snow in my backyard, I hope. You know? Hey, time to get out the shorts and the t-shirts, I guess, if we get in the 40s. But I'm looking forward to a little warmer weather, and I hope you are as well. But whatever the weather, as I've said before, God always meets with his people. And I'm glad you're here to meet with God as he meets with us on this Sunday morning. You know, there's some things, I don't know about you, but there are things that I remember from my childhood. I don't know why you remember some things. You know, a lot of things happen. But once in a while, something just is kind of there, and you never forget. One of those things, and I think I was probably about maybe the third grade, and my dad was supposed. My dad worked in the oil fields in Texas, and he likes to hunt, and he was supposed to go hunting with some guys from work. And I remember how Dad got up. Always got up early. We've always been early risers. Dad got up early and on the morning, got his breakfast, got dressed, you know, got everything ready to go hunting. The only problem was the guys he was going to go hunting with never showed up. And my dad somehow got left behind. Now, why that stuck with me, it just kind of bothered me as a child that somebody would leave my dad behind. And, you know, here I am, 77 years old, and I still remember, you know, way back there, my dad got left behind. I don't like to be left behind, do you? I want to talk about that for a few moments this morning, about being left behind in a mystery. I want to talk to you about the biblical experience of how do you feel when you have been left behind. And I want to talk to you this morning about being left behind in a mystery when you have no explanation for it at all. And I want us to find out this morning what you and I can do in those times when we have been left behind. Our scripture this morning is found in Genesis chapter 22. All the way back in the Old Testament to a story in Genesis chapter 22. And I'm going to start reading this morning in verse 1, very first book of the Bible, the book of Genesis, chapter 22, beginning in verse 1. We read these words. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, "Abraham, here I am," he replied. Then God said, "Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about." Early the next morning. That verse always grabs me. Here's God telling Abraham to take his one and only son and sacrifice him early the next morning. No delay, no pleading, no putting it off, no rationalization. Early the next morning, Abraham got up, saddled his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, "Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship, then we will come back." Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father Abraham, "Father?" "Yes, my son," Abraham replied. "The fire and the wood are here," Isaac said, "but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham answered, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." And the two of them went on together. Look down to verse 19. Then Abraham returned to his servants, and they set off together for Beersheba, and Abraham stayed in Beersheba. I want to start by asking you a question this morning. Have you ever truly been left behind? Have you ever this morning felt abandoned by someone who promised you they would never, ever leave you? Well, if you have, I think this morning you already have some certain emotions that register with you when I raise that question that I just raised. If you haven't been left behind, you're probably saying to yourself this morning, Pastor Mike, the last thing I want to appear on my human resume is to say that I have been left behind. Now, some stories about being left behind are so particular or so peculiar, they almost sound like they've been pulled from out of space. Such is the story of Travis Walton. Anybody ever heard of Travis Walton? Who allegedly was abducted by space aliens and then left behind. And the story actually is supposed to have happened November the 5th, 1975. You can read it for yourself. Travis Walton was working on a government contract with a six-man crew clearing brush and trees in the Apache Sitgraves National Forest in Arizona. After work ended one day, he and his crew got in their truck and were on their way back to the house when their eyes were drawn to a luminous disc that was hovering on the left-hand side of the road. Now, curiously, they stopped. Ain't no way in the world I would have stopped if I had seen something like that, but they stopped. And against the better judgment of the oldest man in the crew, Travis Walton got out of the truck and he went over to investigate the unidentified flying object. Well, all of the men agreed that a blue luminous light hit Travis, and when it did, he disappeared, and the rest of the crew took off in the truck. Well, since they had left him behind, they decided they needed to return, and not only did they not find Travis, the UFO had taken off. Now, they reported that very bizarre story to the local police department, and the police department had not heard anything that ridiculous in all of their lives. So, they took these six men through a series of polygraph tests, and every one of them passed the test. Then the largest manhunt that had ever been formed in that part of the country was launched, and no trace was found of Travis Walton. 5 days later, hungry, his clothes torn, lying on a cold pavement some 70 miles away in Heber, Arizona, they found Travis. And Travis reported these words, and I quote, 5 years ago, I was abducted by aliens, and they recently let me go and left me behind. And now that I've been left behind, I've left everything that was meaningful and important to me. Now, when I read that very peculiar story, I said to myself, that is really a mystery. Now, as ridiculous as that may sound to us this morning, there are probably some of us here today who have our own stories we can tell. People would look at us and shake their heads in utter disbelief and say to us, how could you survive after you have been left behind? Maybe some spouse that is here this morning or maybe watching online, some spouse knows exactly what I'm referring to this morning because you've heard those words of departure. I don't have anything left for you. No tears. No joy, no grief, no pain, and out the door they go without one word, and you are left behind. Some child, some young adult that may be even watching online today that knows what I'm talking about, they saw the certainty of their home torn apart by divorce, and they were left behind without an explanation. Some of you here this morning know exactly what I'm talking about because you've been left behind by friends or a spouse or companions or family. Some of you have been dropped off by some job where you've devoted all of your life. And this morning, you can say, I know what it means emotionally to be left behind. Now, the question that comes to us is, when you are left behind, what do you do? What do you do? How do you manage your life when you know you've been left behind? What I want to do this morning is give our attention in this story that we've read, particularly to these two unnamed servants who accompanied Abraham on this divine mission. At the heart of the story, what God is trying to teach you and me is that in life, every encounter and every circumstance is leading us to one major point where we learn to completely trust God. And I want us to see what happened from the perspective of these two servants that reminds us this morning that sometimes you and I will be left behind in a mystery without any kind of explanation. Ever had that happen? Something happened to you? Something you thought would go one way and it went totally a different way, and to this day you don't know why? Events, people, things in life. So what do you do? What do you do if you've been left behind in a mystery and there's no commentary for you to read as to why you've been left behind? Well, I think this morning when you and I have been left behind in a mystery without an explanation, first of all, we follow God faithfully. Follow God faithfully. Now, this day was different from every other day. These two servants had been with Abraham and had been with Abraham during many decisions that he had made in his life. They kept their eyes riveted on the faithful following of Abraham to his God. They knew the history of Abraham. They knew that Abraham was not raised to this Yahweh community, and they knew that this God was new to Abraham. They knew that God himself had called Abraham to leave the Ur of the Chaldees and set his face west to go to a place called Canaan. They watched Abraham. They watched him and they followed him as Abraham followed God to that place with no specific address, and they watched Abraham. They watched him take Sarah. Sarah, who was childless, who was barren. They watched him gather up all of his servants and all their possessions, all the cattle and the donkeys and the sheep and the camels, and take this long trek across a desert place. And they watched Abraham pitch tents and build altars, open his mouth and pray to this God that he was not reared to know. And they saw Abraham's life develop. They watched it as it developed under this new God, the God who had made him a promise that I will make your name great and I will bless your seed and your descendants will be as innumerable as the sand of the sea. Abraham, you have a better chance of taking a great big handful of sand and counting every last grain of sand before you will be able to calculate how much I'm going to bless your future. And Abraham was puzzled by that. Because, you see, he had no children. He assumed maybe God would do something through one of his servants. And yet, without explanation, these men watched Abraham as he followed faithfully. I think this morning that becomes a very critical question for every one of us here this morning. Can we follow God faithfully when we have no explanation for what's going on? Just a few years ago now, The Secret Life of Mother Teresa was published. Remember Mother Teresa, that great saint? Her letters from 50 years were made public for the first time. She had asked her confidant, her confessor, Reverend Vanderfleet, to destroy those letters after he read them, but he held on. In those letters, the mother of the gutter, the woman who dedicated the majority of her life to rescue the sick and dying in the gutters of Calcutta, the woman who took a medical class so she could learn how to administer medication to those who could not help themselves, Mother Teresa, who cradled in her arms the decimated bodies of AIDS patients and people dying with cancer and other diseases, this woman who called herself the pencil of God, that as she wrote in her confession, that if God wanted to erase her any time he wanted to, he could. This woman, who died 50 years or so ago, who died several years ago now, revealed to us what it means to follow God faithfully if you've been left behind in a mystery. If you haven't read her story or heard about the story, it really would do you good to do so. That, for 50 years of her life, get this now, 50 years of her life, she felt like she had been abandoned by God. Now, agnostics, atheists, psychiatrists have tried to psychoanalyze what she went through. Atheists said, well, she finally hit a wall and all of her life ended up as a nothing. Agnostics said, well, you know, we knew there was nothing out there that was supposed to be out there. Psychiatrists simply looked at her and said, you know, she's going through some kind of emotional problem. I don't believe any of that. What she teaches me is what she said herself, and I quote, I speak, and it seems as if I'm not heard. My lips move, but no prayers are uttered. I see, but I do not see. I listen, but I do not hear. But if this pleases God, if this will bring people into the kingdom of God, then so let God have my life. You see, folks, the reason why I mentioned Mother Teresa this morning is because of this one fact. In 50 years of her life, that she felt, and she wrote with her own hand, that she felt like she had been abandoned by God, not one place in those letters, in 50 years of feeling like she had been shut out, did she ever once contemplate taking off her habit and returning to another life. She stayed with God faithfully. Faithfully. Now, this morning, that becomes our question. Can you follow God faithfully today when you cannot feel Him? Can you follow God faithfully when you pray and it appears that God will not answer? Can you follow God faithfully when you feel like maybe God has abandoned you, that God has walked away from you? Can you follow God faithfully? Abraham did. Teresa did. And you and I, we can do it if we understand that our relationship with God is not based on how we feel or even how God responds to us. But it's predicated on the reality of the isness of God alone. He's God. This day was different from every other day. The servants saw Abraham as he walked out the door of that tent, and Isaac, his only son, whom he loved passionately, they saw Abraham walk out the door of that tent, and behind him in the shadows, they could see Sarah grieving, as only a mother can grieve. I think it was that maternal instinct that was there. She must have had, this was not going to be a good day. This was a day of sacrifice. Now, sacrifices had been offered to God. The only difference today was the sacrifice. This particular morning, as Abraham walked out the door and Isaac walked along beside him, Abraham seemingly distanced himself, and these two servants that were there saw that. He gathered the wood. He got the ropes. He got the coal for the fire. He got that machete, that knife that was big enough to slice and break the bones of animal sacrifices. And out of that large staff of servants, he called two of those men to come with him on the journey. He said, "Follow me to the base of the mountains." And they did. And on that journey to the base of the mountains, they heard Abraham say to them, "Stay behind. You stay here. My son and I are going to go up that mountain. We're going to worship God and we're going to return." That's all they heard. That's all and nothing else. Just stay behind while we worship. And Abraham walked away. And as he walked away, they focused their eyes on his back and on the figure of Isaac. And I think they must have wondered, what's all this about? He's never asked us specifically to accompany him on any other day. Why this place? Why today? And they watched Abraham walk up that mountain with wood and ropes and a fire and knife and his son. But no lamb. There they were. Left behind in a mystery without any explanation. And they had to follow faithfully. Now, I want that to sink into our minds and hearts for a moment today. There comes a time in our spiritual life when you and I follow and we just don't ask questions. Now, I know, for an awful lot of people this morning, that's one statement that upsets us spiritually, because I can hear people say this morning, "Pastor Mike, I don't care who you are, I don't care what you say, you know, I'm not following anybody because, you know, I have a mind to think and I have a will to ask questions, anything that I want to ask." That's fine. But for those of you who have been in the military, answer this question for me this morning. Whether you agree or not with what your commander says or says to you, there comes a time when you're in that uniform and you've pledged yourself to your government that you follow without any explanation and many times without any questions that you have. And I know that's hard for some of us today, and that's the reason why some of us are in the mess that we're in this morning, because we're always trying to question God as to exactly what God is doing and what God is up to. There comes a moment in everyone's life when we say, "I don't know, but I will follow. And I believe the one who is leading knows where he is going." There comes a time in life, whether we want to or not, you and I follow without asking questions in our hearts. And we trust and we believe that if God has called our life into being, that God knows what our future is better than you and I know what that future is. Saints of old used to say, "God is a mighty good leader." And I believe that. When you're left behind in a mystery without an explanation, you follow God faithfully. But when you're left behind in a mystery without an explanation, you wait on God patiently. You wait on God patiently. Notice what Abraham said to these men. "We're going to go up to that mountain and worship, and we will return." I want to tell you this morning, that is one of the grand stories of faith. All of us should read this story periodically. No sacrifice, but one, Isaac. No provision made outside the family, just one, Isaac. Abraham is actually going to take his son to the very top of that mountain and offer him up as a sacrifice to God. And it must have been dread for those men that had been left behind. They had never questioned. They did not question now. All they could do at this point was to wait patiently. Let me ask you this morning. How many of us really know this morning that much of life can be summed up by simply waiting patiently? A great deal of life is summed up by waiting. I have a feeling this morning, if I went through this audience and I begin to ask very different people this morning the question, we'd find people that would say to us, Pastor Mike, I'm just waiting. That's where I am right now. I'm just waiting. Some would say, Pastor, I'm waiting on healing. I'm waiting this morning on deliverance. I'm waiting on God to break through. I'm waiting on God to answer prayer. I'm just waiting. I know I'm not supposed to move forward. I'm not to retreat or to step aside. All I know to do right now, all I can do is just wait patiently. And I want to confess, for one who is not very patient, I'm not, that one of the most difficult things in all of our experiences is to have to wait on God. Or just wait through life, because it takes commitment to wait. You don't wait, just wait to wait. It takes commitment to wait. Now, they had seen, these two servants, they had seen that at every place where Abraham got into trouble, it was because he stopped waiting. God had made him a promise, and those men knew about that promise. God said, I'm going to bless your life. I'm going to give you a son. But the Bible tells us Abraham and Sarah couldn't wait. So Sarah said, you know, maybe God wants you to have sex with this handmaid Hagar, that servant of mine, and have a son from him. So he had sex with Hagar, and a son came out of that. They named him Ishmael, and all hell broke loose after that. Ishmael turned out to be a wild donkey of a man, and God said, all that happened because you stopped waiting. And these men saw all the trouble that Abraham and his family got into because Abraham didn't wait. And folks, you and I had better learn to wait on God. That comes from Abraham's life, that you and I had better wait patiently. And we'd best better do that. You see, they had seen Abraham with their own eyes. They could see what would happen when you get out of step with God. You can make some very bad choices when you get out of step with God. You want to know how I know that? I didn't have to read that in a book anywhere. I've been out of step with God a few times in my life, and I know what that means. I know what it means to get ahead of God. I know what it means to get out of step with God. I know what it means to get behind God and start trying to tell God what He's supposed to do. I know what all of that means. And whenever you get to that place, you start making some terrible mistakes in life. And there comes a moment in time when you just have to wait patiently. Maybe this morning, that's where you are. Maybe that's this morning, that's your situation. Facing a decision. Facing something in life, and you really don't know what to do, and God is simply saying, not yet. Not yet. And maybe you're ready to abandon something. Maybe a whole change of things, and God is saying, not yet. Stay there until the God who put you there comes back to relieve you, and until then, wait patiently. When you're left behind in a mystery without an explanation, you wait on God patiently. And when you're left behind in a mystery without an explanation, you believe God deeply. You believe God deeply. Something happened on the top of that mountain. You see, Abraham was prepared to take the very life of Isaac. He extended that machete-like knife to tear that body to pieces. And as that knife lifted, something happened. Abraham heard a sound of a bleeding ram, and he heard the voice of an angel say to him, "Enough, enough. You have trusted God faithfully, Abraham. Put it down. God has provided what you need." And folks, on that mountain, God got a brand new nickname. Jehovah Jireh, God provides. God provides. You see, God sees what you need long before you need it. And before you ever need it, God has a way of providing it for you. And it may look like God has forgotten where you are, but I can tell you this morning, God knows exactly where you are and knows exactly what your predicament is, and God has provided. And at the heart of it all, Abraham believes deeper, and Isaac believes deeper. And they come down from that mountain and they relieve those two servants, and the two servants believe deeper. And I want to remind us that every experience you and I have in life is for one reason, and that is for you to learn to believe God deeper. God wants all of us to trust Him more today than we did yesterday or last week or last month or 5 years ago. And He wants us to know, "My mercies are new every morning." And the very fact that I woke you up this morning is evidence that I still have something for you to do. Believe deeply in God and trust Him more. So if you're here this morning in a mystery without an explanation, and you're wondering what in the world is God up to, why is that happening? Maybe not to you, maybe to someone else. You just don't see the reason. And you're in a mystery without an explanation, then follow God faithfully and wait on God patiently. And believe in God deeply. And God will see you through. That's why the writer of the chorus wrote, "O God, You are my God, and I will ever trust You. I will meet You in the morning. I will learn to walk in Your ways. And step by step You'll lead me. And I'll follow You all of my days." God gave me that chorus. It's been around, but He just kind of gave it to me a few years ago. And I was going through one of those situations where I didn't understand. I had no explanation. And I still don't have an explanation today. But what I have is God's word to me. Step by step, I'll lead you if you will follow me all of your days. And I do that. As I learn to follow God faithfully, and as I learn to wait on God patiently, and as I learn to believe in God deeply, He leads step by step because He's God. Are you learning that this morning? Find yourself in a place where you've just been wondering what God's up to. Sometimes God leads us there. I just say, "Lord, what are You up to? What's happening? Why?" I'm learning, following, waiting, believing. He's our God. Would you bow with me for a moment? I don't know where you are this morning. I don't know what you face. Don't know the situation of your family or things around you and all the things that are making up life to be what it is. But I have this distinct feeling today that some here, and perhaps those who will watch later online, are going through some places where you're wondering, what in the world is God up to? I just don't see the reason. I don't have an explanation. I can't figure it out. Where's God? And God is saying to us, as he said to Abraham, follow God faithfully. Wait on God patiently. Believe in God deeply. And step by step, he'll lead us as we follow him all of our days. Father, your word speaks to our hearts today. We look out this morning to those that are here and those that perhaps will watch later online and know that there are folks that are right now would say, Pastor Mike, things are happening in my life. I don't know why. I have no explanation. I'm asking God in the darkness of what I'm going through to say, Lord, why? And what do you want to tell me? And what are you trying to teach me? And what's the explanation for all this that is facing life today? And there seems to be no answer. But we think of the words that we read a while ago from the life of Mother Teresa, who would pray and speak and look and listen and for 50 years, heaven is brass. Nothing came. And yet she faithfully followed God. Help us lift up our hearts this morning and know that if you woke us up this morning and you've given us life, as we sang about so beautifully in some of our choruses this morning, you're the one who's done all of that. If you are the one that we sing about, and you're the one that we think this morning that we put our trust in our music, then, Lord, you're the one who can guide us and direct us and be exactly what we sang about today, to give us life and leadership and help us through the tempest and the storms. You're the God who will, step by step, guide us, even when we don't have explanation. And when we come out, as we come out, we can somehow be a better light. We can somehow help others believe you more fully and follow you more faithfully and believe in you more deeply as we ourselves draw closer to you. So for that one, or maybe for a number of folks here today who need to take heart, who need to keep on trusting God through the storms and through the difficulties and through the darkness of unanswered questions, lead us, guide us, direct us, provide for us as you promised you would, and remind us your mercies really are new every day. We thank you in Jesus' name.